a little surprised, but kind of impressed, to be greeted in the lobby today by somebody who had been doing a little research on what a fob is. He was already preparing for this, and he said, "You know, it means a lot of things." I said, "Yeah, I know. We'll try to talk about a few of them here today." Uriah told us about his fob that grants access, a fob that unlocks doors, a fob that allows him certain privileges to be able to get to certain locations. Most of us, when we think of a fob, we probably think of that kind of fob. That's the kind I was most familiar with. It stands for frequency operated button. Seriously, how many of you knew that? That's what I thought. So they come in all different shapes and sizes. Not all fobs look the same, even when we're talking about just these kinds of fobs. See, there's a lot of them. Some of you might know the term fob to be a shipping term that means free on board. It determines how far something can travel before somebody has to pay for it to travel a little bit further. That was new to me. Or sometimes I guess it's freight on board, seems to go both ways. Some of you might know the term fob to be a reference to an ABC sitcom called Fresh Off the Boat. Now, Fresh Off the Boat was new to me this week, and I learned two things about it. One thing I learned was that sometimes among friends in our local area, that term can be used as a lighthearted, humorous way for folks who weren't native to this country to excuse each other's off-culture behavior. And so one of the people I asked about that term said, "Oh my goodness, we laugh about that all the time." However, other times that term can be used as a derogatory slur for people who have recently come to our country. So I want you to know that when I began thinking of fob, I was not thinking of anything derogatory. Let's get that one real clear. I want to do at least one more FOB acronym. I'd like to hear from the children and youth who have been to cabin camp. Can you yell it out? What is FOB time? Oh, come on. There's more than three of you that know that. What is FOB? Flat on bunks. There we go. Flat on bunks. And which is pretty brilliant, actually. I wish I would have come up with something like flat on bunks when my children were smaller. But many kids who have been to Camp Hebron know what to expect when it is FOB time. So FOB, or FOB, can mean a lot of different things. Now, if you've been paying attention a little bit, you know that something new is coming today. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. Sometimes at Slate Hill, we take on church-wide efforts. Some of you who have been here a while can think back to Challenge 2013. Challenge 2013 resulted in over 120 of you committing to spend some time in Scripture every day. We used the analogy of a rock that is dripped on by water. And we said, if that water drips on the rock for a whole day or for a whole week, the rock won't really be changed much. It'll just be wet. But if that drip continues for an entire year, the rock will be changed. And many people commented that they were changed by that experience of being dripped on by Scripture every day. Some of you tell me that 5 years later, you are still experiencing the daily drip. Praise God. In 2015, we engaged in something called Connect, Engage, Relate. And we looked at different ways to create relationships with the people that we meet. And each week, people could bring forth stones to represent those interactions. By the end of the year, we had well over 300 stones on the altar table, representing neighbors and coworkers and former strangers for whom you had responded to God's call to connect and engage and relate. So what's coming now? I'll tell you about that in a bit. First, I want to talk a little bit about the story. 2 weeks ago, you heard Lynn introduce the story. We're going to learn a little bit more about that today, and then we'll talk about a key way that we're going to be engaging around the story. The story is a book that is all Scripture, but not quite all of Scripture. I don't know about you, but I do not need to read temple measurements again. So there are a few things like that that are not included in the story, but most of the Scripture is. In the story, there are no book or chapter or verse headings. For example, you will not know if you're reading Luke 2:24 when you're reading the story. It just flows all together. The scriptures in the story are also not in the same order that they're found in the Bible, because, as some of you know, the Bible isn't in chronological order. It's close, kind of. It starts at a beginning, and it comes to the end that we're all looking forward to, but there is some mixing up in between. So in the story, the scriptures are rearranged to create one continuous chronological narrative. In that way, you can see that it reads just like any other narrative. Imagine, you know, curling up with a favorite novel and engaging in it that way, except this one happens to be entirely true and entirely life-changing. As we engage in the story this year, we have a copy of this book for every household. In fact, a whole lot of them are already in the conference room today, and you are welcome to take it. But not everyone will find this book to be the perfect one for them. So there are some books for various age groups. There's a story for students. That one, by the way, is my favorite. That's my favorite. There's a story for kids. There's a story for children. And there's a story for tiny tots. There's also a story in large print. There's the story on Kindle. There's the story on Audible. There are a number of ways that you can access the story. So when you go to the conference room today, you can pick up and take this one with you. You can also sign up to receive one of the other ones. In our house, I know that we're going to need more than one story to be able to reach each of the people who live under our roof. So you'll find that information all in the conference room today, and you'll be hearing a little bit more about the story in the times to come. There is a donation basket there. If you would like to help offset the costs of the storybooks, you're welcome to do that, but nobody's keeping track. So do that when you wish, and don't worry about letting that hinder you from taking copies of the story. But that's not new news. You knew about the story. You heard about that a couple weeks ago. What's the new news? And what's a fob? We'll get to that in a bit. Let's look at today's scripture first. We're looking at a scripture from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. So you see it in the screen in front of you. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Whoop, can you go back one? Thank you. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This scripture is telling us about the early church. I mean the really early church. These were some of the very first Christ followers. And here we have a description that tells us, what did church look like for these people? Well, when we look at what church looked like, we find four things to which they were devoted. And then we see the results of that devotion. So let's look at those four things. First of all, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching, in this case, being that this was the early church, included people who were firsthand witnesses. You can go ahead to the next slide. People who were firsthand witnesses to what Jesus had done. We read from many of those same firsthand witnesses when we read the New Testament. And yes, I can assure you that that is part of the story. That is part of this particular copy of the story. So we will be hearing in the coming year from those firsthand witnesses, just as this church did. We also know that this early church engaged with scripture other than those firsthand witnesses. We know that it was part of Roman culture to have things read aloud. We know that it was part of Jewish tradition to have scripture read aloud. We know that it was part of Jesus' modeling to have scripture read aloud. The early church was devoted to scripture because Jesus was devoted to scripture. Second thing we see them devoted to is fellowship. These people met together often and built strong relationships that way. At other points in the New Testament, we hear other things about how often they were meeting together. Even in this scripture, it tells us daily later in the text. That regular contact enabled them to know each other and to care for each other effectively and generously. If you were here in late July, you heard Linda Minninger preach about some of the tenets of Anabaptist faith. And as she was talking about the fact that community is the center of our life, she shared some of the stories about the way that we here at Slate Hill care for each other, that we as a fellowship become a family. And I see that as people walk together through difficult times, as they provide transportation for those who need it, as they provide meals for those who would benefit from them, as they provide financial assistance. There are so many ways that our fellowship becomes care and effective, generous, loving of each other. Fellowship was important to that early church. Then we get to the breaking of bread. I'm kind of liking this part. We Mennonites do like to eat, at least I do, right? So let me just pause and give a little, two little plugs here. Next Sunday, after the worship service, there is a fellowship meal. So bring your hot dish, your cold dish to share with lots of other people. If you forget your dishes, stay anyway. There's no Sunday school next Sunday, so it's right after the worship service. We'll have the chance to greet some of the college students that are coming in and to kind of reconnect with each other after a lot of us have been here and there and everywhere through the summer. Also, in just 2.5 weeks, I think it is, on September 12th, Wednesday night out meals return. I don't know about how your house feels about that, but in my house, that is cause for great celebration. I am super happy that Wednesday Night Out is coming back, and we are looking forward to that. So make sure you're ready for that on September 12th. That's all fine and good, and the early church did that kind of thing too, but that's not what they mean here. Here, in this place, the breaking of bread is communion. It is recreating Jesus taking the bread, taking the cup, and saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." So in this way, we see that early church having these deep spiritual connections with each other as they celebrate sacraments. And then they were devoted to prayer. This scripture comes in the very same chapter as the story of Pentecost, the story of the Holy Spirit coming upon the people and them being empowered by the Holy Spirit. It was fresh and new to them. Here's the thing. We too, if we have accepted the Holy Spirit to live within us, are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We didn't see that dramatic occurrence quite so recently, so it's easy for us to forget. It's easy for us to relegate prayer to being the last resort or that thing we do when we can't figure out what to do. But these people did not see prayer that way. They were devoted to prayer. How about the story that Lee shared this morning? Prayer request went out to this congregation, and I would bet to others too. For a young man for whom the doctors had said nothing is working, call the family so you can say goodbye. And here we are, 4 or 5 weeks later, and the doctors are saying, we can't find any trace of the leukemia. We don't know what happened. Can we just take a minute to give God a hand for that? Don't let anybody tell you that miracles only happened in Bible times. Because guess what? This story is still being written. And that is absolutely a modern day miracle. And now, church, can we say, praise be to God for that physical healing, but we're not done yet? You heard the cry of the uncle's heart. The physical healing has granted extra time for this young man to come to know Jesus. Can we pray with the same kind of fervor or with even more fervor for the spiritual healing of that young man? because that is a modern-day miracle too, and I expect to see it happen. So I encourage all of us to engage in prayer, fervent, devoted prayer, for that young man and for others in our lives, that we are waiting to see them experience the joy of knowing Jesus. Prayer was an important part of that early church. So what happens when we put together these four devotions? Devotion to the apostles' teaching, devotion to fellowship, devotion to breaking bread in the form of communion, and devotion to prayer. What is the result that comes from that? We read about that in the rest of the passage. In my mind, that first verse is the prescription, and the rest of it is the result. These are the things that happened as a result of that devotion. We see that those around noticed God working through them, just as those doctors are noticing what has happened to this young man's body. We see that they had everything in common, that they shared with others in need, within their group and outside of it. We see that they met together often. I don't think that's part of the prescription. I think that's part of the result. If we're devoted to these things, that's part of the result. We see that they shared meals. In this part of the scripture where it talks about breaking bread together in homes, that's the kind of talking about I was doing earlier, the Wednesday night out meals and the potlucks and the times we have people over and the times we meet in coffee shops and all of that. We see that they rejoiced greatly and sincerely. It says that they had the favor of all of the people. That's a way of saying they were noted by others for their attitudes of love and joy. And we see that they increased in numbers. I get a little cautious about numbers. Numbers can be a little trap for churches. We can get a little too focused on numbers and not be focused on individuals and individuals and individuals and families and singles and neighborhoods and communities. But the fact is, we are called to share the gospel. We are called to share God's love. And when we do those things well and do those things authentically, yes, the church increases in number, and God be praised for that. So, we see that through all of that, the church had many things that were very, very good about it. Now, if you read the rest of the New Testament, which I recommend, you'll find that the new church was not perfect. There were still struggles. There were still disagreements. But in many, many ways, it was very good as a result of those four devotions. So, what's a fob? Did anybody pick it up so far? Can anybody yell out, what's a fob? Fellowship of believers. A fob is, from Acts 2, 42 to 47, the fellowship of believers. Did that show up there before you yelled it out? No? Okay, good, good, good. You knew it. All right, very good. All right, so the fob is the fellowship of believers. So we're going to talk a little bit about those fobs. But first, I want to take time out to talk to the children and the youth. If you are in MYF, if you are in junior youth, if you are one of our children, I hope you'll keep listening, because then you tell me later what was good and not good. That's always valuable. But the fob structure will not directly impact you, because your youth groups have already been functioning in many of the ways that early church was functioning, right? So we want you to continue doing what you are already doing well, even as, over the next year, you'll be integrating the story. Now, adults, some of you are going to say, wait a minute, I was in a group that was functioning kind of like the early church, too. Some of you were. Some of you were in care groups that looked kind of like that early church. Some of you were in care groups that didn't look like the early church but had some other benefits, and that's okay. Some of you have been part of Sunday school classes or part of Wednesday night out Bible study that looked kind of like that early church, kind of like that original fob. But many of you haven't been. Some folks have looked and they've said, well, I see who's participating and who's not participating, and I'm pretty sure that's not actually for me, so I'll stay away from that. Or some of you have said, well, that would be cool, but I have this thing going on at that time, so I can't do that. Or some of you have said, I loved being in a care group, but now the way my family's schedule runs, I can't make a Friday night, I can't make a Saturday night, I can't make a Sunday afternoon. Whatever the case is, it's not fitting for you. Maybe you weren't interested in the topic, or maybe you had another commitment at that time. Whatever it is, we know that some of you weren't able to access the benefits of that early church that some of the rest of you were having in those groups. There's another group, though. Some of you were accessing the benefits in care group, and the benefits in Sunday school, and the benefits in Wednesday night out Bible study, and feeling a little crazy because of all of it. It just can kind of get to be a little much. If you're one of those folks who feels like, well, I should do this thing, and I should do this thing, and I should do this thing, and they are all good, so I should do them all, it begins to feel a little much. So we said, halt. Redo. We have folks who are missing out. We have folks who are stressed out. And we would like to find a way that everyone can access the benefits of that original FOB without feeling pulled in so many directions. So enter a new structure for our congregation. The FOB structure results in some changes. One of the things is, and by the way, this is a result of some of us putting our heads together, Lynn and I, Danielle as CEC chair, Jen as care group coordinator, took those ideas back to the elder team, the church board. I promise this is not a joy thing, okay? Although I am super excited. And I hope it becomes a joy thing, right? But there have been a number of heads that went together on this. So enter this new structure. For the next 9 months, care groups, the vast majority of them anyway, will not be meeting. Adult Sunday school classes will not be meeting. Wednesday night out Bible study will not be coming back. For the next 9 months, we're going to say, instead of connecting here and here and here, all in different ways, all with different people, all with different structures, all that come at different times of the week, we would like to invite you to connect to one group, to connect to one FOB. So I want to tell you a little bit today about those FOBs. First of all, we're going to hope that these FOBs can model that original FOB that we looked at earlier. So let's go back to those four devotions. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. In that apostles' teaching, we come to the apostles' teaching in the written form. We come to those same scriptures that were used by the original FOB in the Old Testament, and some of the same stories and letters that were given to the original FOB in real life that we now get to read in the real life version of the written scripture, the living scripture. So our way of devoting to the apostles' teaching is through the story. The story includes discussion questions right there in the book. So it's your chance to come, talk about what you've read, talk about what you heard in the sermon, even if you didn't get to read it. Talk about the way you're wrestling with how does my story line up with God's story. That's our time to come and do that. Second thing is devoted to fellowship. FOB groups will meet each week that the story is in session. Before you get nervous about each week, wait till I get to the schedule. I think you're going to take a deep breath and feel better. Okay? FOB groups will meet each week that the story is in session, because we know from the early church that that opportunity to see each other regularly and to wrestle together regularly and to care for each other regularly is something that's strong and something that's powerful. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. So, the next one is devoted to the breaking of bread. This one's going to happen less often, but yes, because we see the FOB as the church, the FOB will have an opportunity at least once during this year to enjoy communion together and celebrate that holy sacrament together for those who would like to do that. So yes, the breaking of bread in that way. Some FOBs might break bread in other ways. And then devoted to prayer. As we just talked about, prayer is not our last resort. It is not the thing we do when we're not sure what else to do. It is our first step. It is our original devotion, because we recognize that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we are told, as you heard from Uriah this morning, to ask and to seek and to knock, and it will be granted. So each FOB time will include time for individual and together prayer. Now, if your life runs like mine, you want to know about the schedule. How exactly does this work? That's ours, by the way. FOBs are going to meet on Sundays at 11, should sound a little familiar, or on Wednesdays at 6:30. These are times that you are already here. We were particularly looking to not have people add something else to their week's schedule. Let's do this at a time that you're already here. These are also times that our youth and our children are engaging with the story in their programming. So this is why this affects only the adults. You will decide whether it works best for you to be in a FOB that meets on Sunday at 11 or a FOB that meets on Wednesday at 6:30. They will meet for 1 hour. So if you have experience with care groups, think mini care group. We're talking about a much smaller, more compact period of time. We use 45 minutes to discuss the questions from the story. We use 15 minutes at the end for sentence sharing and for prayer together. I know that those prayers will be praise-filled prayers, as was the case with the early church, and I know there will be times to bring the joys and the needs of those in our group and outside of our group to God's feet. So, like the story, this is going to take a break for Advent and Christmas, and then restart, and then it's going to be done before summer is over. So the FOBs run the exact same weeks as the story. We have 11 this fall, then we take our Christmas break, and then we start in January, and it's done before summer. You'll get all the details about that schedule a little bit more, but that gives you a hint. All right, now let's talk to you about some questions that you might have about FOBs. The first question you might be wondering is, who's going to be in my FOB? Well, the answer is, I have no idea. I hope you like my bouncy little frog. I have no idea who will be in your FOB because you will select your own FOBs. If you've been involved in care groups before, you know you filled out a little paper, and then the elders, and particularly Jen, and years before that, Barb, we sat and we moved papers around, and we said, put that one, So this time, instead, you choose your own FOB. There are sign-up sheets that will be available after church today and then again next week that you can go and say, I see, I think I want to be in that FOB, and you put your name on that sheet. Some of you will want to chat with friends over the next week and come back next Sunday and sign up as an entire group. That's fine. You're welcome to do that. Some of you will want to be in a group with people you don't know. That's fine. You can do that. You might want to be in a group with people in the same stage of life. You might want to be in a group that's more intergenerational. You might want to be, you get to decide. You will sign up for your own FOB. So I have no idea who will be in your FOB. Next question is, how big will my FOB be? How many people will be in my FOB? And the answer is, I have no idea. You're signing up for your own FOBs. So I don't know how many people end up being in your FOB. We expect that there will be substantial variation in size. Now, I will say, if your FOB gets huge, and I hope that happens, because when you invite friends, the FOBs grow and so on. When your FOB gets huge, Lynn or I might visit and say, you know, is there a way we can multiply this into more than one FOB? Or if your FOB is super tiny, we might visit and say, hey, how can we grow this FOB a little bit? But I expect there will be wide variation in the size of FOBs, just depending on how you all decide to sign up. Next question is, who will lead my FOB? The answer is, I have no idea. You're probably sensing a theme by now. There are no designated leaders that are imposed upon the FOBs, so to speak, right? FOBs are self-led. Now, there are a few things that have to happen for a group to work well. So the first time you meet, and that's going to be either on Sunday, September 9th, or on Wednesday, September 12th, depending on which FOB you sign up for. The first time you meet, we're going to ask you to talk about that and to give back a little information about things like who's going to lead the discussion and who's going to be available as a contact person. Keep in mind that this book has already been selected as the text and that it already contains the discussion questions. So this is not lead as in spend an hour or two preparing. This is lead as in show up and say, okay, so if we look at number one, right? We're talking about very, very simple tasks that are led from within the group. So I have no idea who will lead your FOB. I hope it'll be kind of everybody. Next question is, will my FOB also do other things? And the answer is, I have no idea. Some fobs will find that meeting for that 1 hour on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday evening is exactly what they need, and that's fine. Some fobs might say, hey, a couple times during the year, let's do a service project together. Or once or twice during the year, or maybe even more, let's do something fun together. Maybe you want to go to a ball game and you can invite friends. Maybe you want to have a cookout. I don't know what your fob will want to do. Maybe during the time that the fobs aren't meeting, because remember I said there's those break periods, maybe you'll want to get together once, or maybe you won't. The reason that so many questions are answered with, I have no idea, is because we expect each fob to take on its own unique identity. We know, if you saw the key fobs at the very beginning, they don't all look the same. And I suspect the same will be true with our fob groups. They won't all look the same. We expect there will be some variety there. So, now let's get to some other questions that maybe I will have some idea on. How about, should I join a fob if I was already in a care group? Or even if I wasn't in a care group? The answer is yes and yes. And by the way, if you loved your care group and you are feeling a little anxious right now about the fact that I said your care group isn't going to meet, please talk with your care group this week and you can come and sign up as a group if you'd like, right? That's up to you. If you've never been in a care group because it seemed like it'd be difficult to fit in your schedule or you weren't sure you'd really fit in or whatever, this is the ideal time to join a fob because we think we've made it fit in your schedule and you get to select what group you'll be in. And if you've loved a care group, I got news for you, good news and bad news. Good news is this is similar, bad news is this is different, all right? It's not the same as care groups. So yes and yes, you should try out a fob. Next question is, should I join a fob if I don't usually go to Sunday school? And the answer is yes. Again, maybe Sunday school, the topics weren't for you, or it wasn't just seeming the right fit, or you saw the people and you thought, not really sure that's the right place for me. You're gonna choose your own fob, and you now know the topic. It's the story. So the answer is yes. By the way, each of these fobs you select, right? But do know that then they're open groups. We think as the year goes on, there might be somebody else who joins your fob. There could be somebody else who comes and joins your fob. So the groups will be fairly consistent week to week, but might at times have changes because they are open groups. Next question. Should I join a fob if I already know the Bible really well? Because we're just going to be studying the Bible, right? Just studying the Bible. Love that phrase. That seems silly. Anyway, or should I join a fob if the only time I have ever opened a Bible is in this building? And the answer is yes and yes. The story is a new way of looking at the Bible. So the people who, you know, you might look at that person and think, well, that person's kind of an expert on the Bible. Not sure we have any. Maybe. We have a couple Bible professors, maybe. But if you're looking at that person and thinking, oh, that could be intimidating because that person's kind of an expert on the Bible, know that we have in many ways leveled the playing field because this is not the Bible they're used to reading. Or if you're feeling like, I don't know, I'm not really all about the Bible, I'm not even entirely sure where Chronicles is, I mean, it's on page, like, I can't remember, don't worry, there is no label of Chronicles in this book. All it is like, you know, chapter 13. All right? So this is a different way of looking at the Bible, and we think it can fit for everyone. Next question is, should I join a fob if I'm not a believer? Well, after all, it's called Fellowship of Believers, so that might seem kind of weird, right? But here's the thing. We think the story is going to be an interesting thing to study for everyone. It's a story that many people appreciate for its spiritual focus, but many others appreciate for its historical focus. No matter how it is that you feel you are right now with your relationship with Jesus, with that thought of, think I believe, I'm not sure, or no, I'm sure I don't believe, or yes, I'm sure I do believe, we think there is something that you will find of value in a fob. And we also think that the relational value will be strong and powerful too. So the answer is yes, you are welcome to join a fob. Next question is, should I join a fob if I'm new here? The answer is absolutely. Even if today is your very first day, you may join a FOB. In fact, I hope you will. And as the year goes on, we anticipate we'll have the opportunity to have other people join FOBs too. So whether you were carried in as a baby or you showed up here this morning because you found the wrong church, what I think is the right church for you, we hope that you will join a FOB. Next question is, should I join a FOB if I can't commit every week? The answer is yes. We have people here who work split shifts. We have people who travel. We have people who have other commitments. The answer is yes. We think that regular, frequent, consistent time together is important, so we're going to encourage you to do that, but we don't expect anybody to have perfect attendance. So even if you're going to be only hitting it a couple of times a month, yes, you can still join a FOB. Next one. Should I join a FOB if I teach Sunday school, or I serve Sunday morning snacks, or I serve Wednesday night out meal, or I'm in the nursery, or I'm in the youth group, serving in the youth group as an adult? And the answer is yes. We have intentionally put it on Sundays at 11 and on Wednesdays at 6:30 so that you will be able to join a FOB at one of those two times. In fact, we hope this can be a model of serve and be served, of feed, and I don't mean just food, and be fed, right? A model where you can say, there is this time that I am growing in my FOB group, and there is this time that I am responding to the needs of my church family. So we are setting this up so that you will be able to have one of the times available for the many ways that you all serve this congregation. And if any of you are looking for new ways to do that, we can chat. And one of the times available to be part of the FOB. Next question. What if you have regular church commitments during both of those times? Well, if you do, please stop doing that. Ask Lynn and I for help, and we will fix that for you. And I'm serious about that. We have spent the last few months trying to ensure that nobody has regular church commitments during both of those blocks of time. After all, this is a serve and be served. It's a feed and be fed, right? So if you actually have regular church commitments during both of those times, I would like to undo that for you. This is a priority. Because we want the answer to that question to be, yes, you should join a FOB. Next question is, should I join a FOB if neither of those times suits me? And it's not about regular church commitment. It's about soccer schedules or ice hockey schedules or band schedules or work schedules or whatever else it is. And the answer is, maybe. I hope so. When you go back to the FOB tables to sign up, there will be one sheet that says sign up sheet for question mark FOB time. And if you put your name there, we'll get in touch and say what would work for you. And we hope that we might be able to find out, maybe you're a Sunday at 8 group, maybe you're a Friday lunch group, maybe you're, I don't know, but put your name down there so that we can start to put that puzzle together, because we are hoping the answer will still be yes, that everybody can connect. Next question. Should I join a FOB if I'm moving to Nebraska next week? No, actually you should not. I don't mean to be exclusive, but if you are moving out of state in the next 2 weeks, please don't join a FOB. Other than that, I think that we have a way to make it work for you. So, that tells you a little bit about FOBs. I hope I've answered most of your questions about FOBs, but I and some of the elders will be in the conference room today, and we would love to answer more of your questions about FOBs. I believe that Uriah's definition was helpful of a FOB being one that gives access. I'm also drawn to my son's definition of FOB. You know, it's great when you get to drive your kids places because you get to talk to them and they're like stuck in the car, so you get to talk. So I said to my oldest son, what's a FOB? And he gave me a definition that's kind of like the one in dictionary.com. This is what he said a FOB was. He said, it's an item that functions as an addition to an object that is small or hard to handle, making the object more manageable by adding bulk and making it less likely to be lost. And I said, interesting. I said, you know, what do you think about a FOB that's a fellowship of believers? And he said, oh, in that case, a FOB is an addition to an individual's spiritual life that makes it easier to handle or understand and makes it less likely for someone to become lost in their faith. So I took him out for ice cream. I thought that was a pretty good definition of a fob. Uriah pointed out that his fob opens doors. And like that, we think that these fobs can be a way of unlocking spiritual insight, of deeper relationships, of meaningful care, and of powerful prayer. And we believe that through that, you as individuals will benefit, and our church as a whole will be strengthened too. If we are fellowships of believers who are devoted to the apostles' teaching, and devoted to fellowship, and devoted to breaking bread, and devoted to prayer, God's hand will be seen powerfully in this people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came and lived among us. We thank you for those early, early believers who left us descriptions of how they did church. We're challenged by that example. And we're excited about finding new ways to engage each person in connecting to you and connecting to others here. Guide us as we join into these fellowships to study your story. May we be transformed by your truth and empowered to spread your love into our community. Amen.